Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Where Liberty Dwells podcast. I'm your host, Vaughn Hilp. Firstly, did you know about this episode right when it came out? Are you outraged that you didn't? Well, you should be, because that's a very sad story. If you want to stay updated on every episode of the podcast, you should follow the show's Instagram at Where Liberty Dwells podcast, or follow the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Also, I'd like to announce that in addition to episodes and articles, Where Liberty Dwells has published its very first statistical report titled, What Police Violence Statistics Don't Tell You. You've probably heard a lot about police murdering innocent people over the last year, often justified by facts and figures, maybe even a nice graph. In this report, I take a new glance at the very numbers the left uses to justify its claim that the police are systemically racist and put their assumptions to the test. For example, did you know that police officers who kill a black person are more often charged and convicted with a crime compared to when a white person is killed? To find out more, go to www.whereliberty.com/articles-and-reports. Enjoy the show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just say right off the bat that TikTok is terrible. This app, I've been doing more research and reading and experiencing a lot more about it in the last couple of months. But it's been on my radar for years now at this point, as something I've always kind of thought was annoying and kind of hopefully thought it was a trend, a fad that would die out. But here we are. It's been around for almost 4 or 5 years now. And it's as popular as ever. So I figured it's about time that I do some good old-fashioned complaining about it. But if anybody doesn't know what TikTok is or much about it, I'll give you a little background information. So TikTok is a social media platform and app that is owned by the parent company ByteDance, which is a Chinese company located in Beijing. The app started out, launched in Beijing in 2016, but of course under a Chinese version because the Chinese have to have their own version for everything because of how restrictive and censored their government makes all of their media. So the Chinese version is called Douyin. It functions essentially the same with some minor differences, as I'm aware, of course, but only filtered out with everything that the Chinese state wants in it instead of anything that anybody wants to post. But the app did go international in September of 2017 under the name TikTok. It also, in November 2017, the app merged with the popular U.S. app that functioned similarly called Musical.ly, sometimes called Musical.ly, in November 2017. TikTok has since then been downloaded 130 million times in the U.S. alone and 2 billion times worldwide, and that excludes the 100 million users alone of the Chinese version, Douyin. But so why is TikTok terrible? Well, when I started thinking about when I started experiencing what this app was creating, and I'll get to my own personal use later, when I started experiencing what this app was doing and how it was communicating with people worldwide, my first and foremost thought was children. How are children experiencing this app? Is it being monitored? Is there sufficient parental controls to go along with this app? And after doing a little bit of research, I'm not so sure that I would be comfortable with my own children having this for a multitude of reasons that I'll get into. But first, so my personal use of this app is that I have never used TikTok. I will never download it on my own phone, and that is for reasons I'll get into later about security issues. But I have experienced it on the resident hall building that I worked for. There we had a work phone that we had to have a work TikTok for it. I've seen the platform and how it works. But what I do have experience with is the Instagram function that is essentially just a copycat version of TikTok to compete with them. Instagram has something called Reels, Instagram Reels, and it is essentially the exact same thing. If anybody's unfamiliar with the general format of TikTok, which is actually important because of just how addicting I think it can be, is that you have you view kind of on a long, if you could imagine a digital film reel, which is I think why the Instagram people call it reels, is that you view a video that can be anywhere from I think 15 seconds to a minute long, and the only thing you have to do to go to the next one is just swipe up or down. A very gentle swipe will take you to the next one. And why I'm saying this like this is because I found that I want to say I do use Instagram Reels from time to time, mostly to see videos that my friends have sent me or to see funny videos that my girlfriend have sent me. But since I have started using it, I did find myself spending an inordinate amount of time just swiping because it's so easy just to view the next video. And I had to stop myself and say, what are you doing? Go and do real things. But when I would catch myself in those moments of weakness, like I guess I would call it, I would stop and think how many people are unable to do that. How many people have more addictive personalities? How many children who have more malleable brains are being affected by this technology? And I also was aware of the content that's being put out. And I know I don't use TikTok personally, but what I've noticed about at least Instagram Reels from what little amount I do use it is that most of the videos are actually TikToks that have just been copied over to the Instagram platform. So I'm essentially equating the two. I know there are some differences, but the content I think is largely the same. Many of those videos are originally TikToks. And what I noticed right away is that many of them are sexual in nature, violent. Many have swearing and many have drug use. And I thought to myself, okay, maybe I just outed myself because I thought maybe it's my algorithm. I mean, as someone who has now taken 4 classes in machine learning, I know just how powerful apps like Instagram's algorithms are to tailor to you content that you want to see based on what you have liked. So I thought maybe it's me. Maybe I'm liking things that show me all these things. And I really wanted to know how it would affect kids. So what I did was I created a brand new Instagram profile that had nothing to do with my own. And the only thing I did when I created it was I followed the Instagram, just literally the Instagram account. And I had not liked a single post or a single reel. And the very first thing I did was I went to the Instagram Reels page and I just started scrolling. And I scrolled through 100 videos. And I counted how many of them included videos of swearing, drug use, violence, and then sexual suggestion, and then outright sexual content. The difference there is that sexual content is what I defined personally, and the difference between sexual suggestion is that sexual content includes basically obscene portrayal or overt portrayal of sexual acts. Of course, Instagram has policies against nudity, but basically barring everything but nudity or the act itself, but mimicking it in many ways. Sexual suggestion is just basically the lighter version of that. And yes, these categories can include multiple at the same time. But out of 100 total viewed videos, without liking anything, so this basically means the algorithm, Instagram's algorithm, had no time to suggest any sort of content to me. Out of those 100 videos, 29 of them included swearing. And I'm not talking about light swearing. I'm talking about, you know, the 7 whatever words you can't say on radio or something like that. 3 of them included explicit drug use. 25 of them included sexual suggestion. 4 of them were outright sexual content. And 2 of them were violent in nature. And among those 100 videos included a young boy who looked to be about 8 singing a rap song with explicatives. Talking about killing people, and he was also flashing gang signs. And another one included a young girl who looked about maybe 10 who was dancing in a sexually explicit way, the video I had to include in the sexually suggestive category. And now I'm imagining, after realizing this, after looking at these videos, I thought, wow, that's bad. But then it only became 1,000 times worse in my mind when I imagined myself maybe as a 13-year-old, which is when I first downloaded Instagram. Of course, the app has changed immensely since then. But the 13-year-old me, who at the time was obviously much more innocent than I have, you know, than I was, you know, 8 years in the future now, or a kid even younger, because I've seen it. I've seen it with kids in public. I've seen little cousins of mine who are as young as 7 or 8 or 9 years old who have access to Instagram. And you may be thinking at this point, Vaughn, this falls on the obligation of the parents to control what content their children see. And I do believe that parents do have that responsibility if they wish to take their child rearing seriously. But many parents, I know this to be true, don't understand just how much is out there in terms of content on the internet. They don't understand that things like YouTube and Instagram can find content that is certainly not okay for children, and lots of it actually escapes the parental controls on purpose. TikTok's targeted audience when it launched are kids under 18. That is their actual target audience. And I looked into this. I said, okay, well, there's got to be some sort of function on these apps to control it. TikTok does have a parental controls function. However, of course, I don't own TikTok. I never will. So I was not able to experience that parental control for myself. But once again, I likened TikTok to Instagram Reels. So I thought Instagram had to have a similar function. So on my brand new Instagram account, I tried to act as if I was a parent taking my child's phone or device and trying to enable these parental controls. And I found that, number one, off the bat, it was extremely difficult to find any sort of control. Number two, there is not a single button you can flip that says, I want to have it on restricted mode like YouTube does or something like that, or, you know, parental mode. There is none of that. You actually only have the ability to make your own account private, and then you can censor individual accounts that you might want to restrict. But there is no feature, at least on Instagram, and I had to check this by looking it up. I thought, oh, what am I? Can I not find this? Is it something that I'm missing? Which is already a problem that it's not easily accessible. But no, the Instagram does not have a feature that you can kind of blanketly say, I want parental controls on this. You have to do it individually. And by the time I was through with this and thinking about the process a parent would have to go to, I'm thinking that many would just not do that. Many would just give up, maybe take the app away, which is maybe the right answer in this case. But many parents are not the helicopter type, which I think is a good thing. I'm not pro helicopter parent. I think you do have to give your child some freedom if they can show that they can handle it. But this is a different age we're living in now, where the access to information, and I'm talking about information that should not be known to children, is so readily available in our pockets at every moment. I'm not a parent yet, but I'm already formulating many ideas about how I will be a parent, and I can't even imagine the technology that will be available to my kids by the time I do have them. But I am worried for the millions of kids out there whose parents are probably don't want this for them. I would think that it is a small minority of parents that know that their children are seeing content like this and are okay with it. But I still feel bad for those parents that just don't know that their kids have access to this. They just don't know. Kids that are 8, 9 years old who are seeing videos with swearing, drug use, violence, and outright sexual content. A child's innocence is perhaps one of the most precious things that our civilized world has to offer. And truthfully, children have not been able to be innocent for very long at all. Up until 200 years ago, half of children died before the age of 5, which completely eliminates their innocence or any life for them at all. It's really only been the last 60, 70 years or so that children have truly been able to experience this age of innocence where they can live life as a child and not have to worry about all of the anxiety that adulthood brings. And that's a wonderful thing. It's not something that should be going on forever. There is a period where you have to transition into adulthood. But I am saddened, and I feel extremely sorry for any story I hear about children who have to lose their innocence so early on. It's a gift that we are able in our modern world to give our children that innocence if we can provide it to them. But a parent can do everything right. They can provide them with a stable home with two parents and food on the table and good schools. But then that phone in their pocket or that laptop in their room, that device, whatever they're connecting to the internet on, can be a parasite and just penetrate this child's innocence and have them lose it so early. And it's a shame. It's a terrible shame. On the sexual suggestion and the sexual content of these videos, I think that it could contribute negatively towards young children, especially young boys' discovery of porn, which goes into a whole nother topic. But I truly do think that the number of pornographic videos and pictures out there on the internet that are so easily available and the large-scale acceptance of it, especially among parents who have young kids, has absolutely done damage to this next generation, especially of young boys who end up growing up, becoming teenagers, and have no idea how sex is in the real world. They only have a pornographic frame of reference about sex, and that I think can lead to long-term problems within a man's marriage and among his relationships and among how he views women in general, which I always thought is an interesting two hypocritical statements by the left, is that they're very much pro sex work and pro porn and all that. And obviously they're also very pro, you know, they're very, very feminist. And I think that if you want men to start treating women better, then first thing you do is teach them that what they see in porn is not how the real world works. And I think it's a very serious problem that is looked over by both sides of the political spectrum. However, I digress. I do want to make this more about TikTok, but it is about social media in general. Another reason why TikTok is terrible is because children and adults alike are suffering from loss of attention spans, time loss in general. Like I said earlier, you can find yourself scrolling for hours because they make it so easy just to go to the next video. And it's addicting. And also a loss of social skills. So Bustle.com says that an MIT study found maintaining attention in the brain requires two things: dismissing all other stimuli and dampening your impulse to do something else. And a 2020 study in Nature Scientific reports that that people who use a lot of social media show signs of extreme impulsivity. A survey conducted by Canadian researchers from Microsoft found that people lose interest in what they're watching on the online after just 8 seconds. And I was reading an interesting article that said that the evidence towards TikTok specifically being a cause from this is improbable, but it is more likely a problem of social media in general. But I think specifically that TikTok and functions like Instagram Reels have taken that addictive aspect of social media and just amped it up to 11. They've taken this function where you can just by the flick of your finger can watch a video after video after video, and you find yourself going through hundreds of them at a time, and you're wasting days. I've fallen into that trap myself a couple times. I will not lie, lots of these videos are funny, and that is why I go back to them, because I think I like looking at them with my girlfriend. I like sending them to my friends. But when you're there for an hour scrolling, and I've seen it with other people, then it's much worse than I think I even realized, because I don't think I'm really that bad with it, and I think it can be much worse. In fact, I did a little digging, and the average amount of time that a user spends on TikTok, this is someone, of course, who has TikTok, the average amount of time they spend on TikTok a day is 52 minutes. That's almost an hour of your entire day, you know, just scrolling mindlessly through videos that largely have no significant meaning. And that's another thing I want to talk about, is like these videos, yes, they're funny, you know, but you spend all that time for what? For what? Now you're caught up on the internet's most recent trends and memes and fads. I sound like an old man. I don't care, because it's terrible. And that this is where I wanted to go with the aspect of losing social skills, is that I know people. And some people listening to this may know, because I've ranted about it, that there are people I know, some former friends of mine, who only know how I talk to them, and if I talk to them for more than 2 to 3 minutes, they lose the ability to communicate in any way other than talking about internet references, largely stemming from TikTok. Every conversation has to have a reference back to, did you see this TikTok video, or have you heard this song in TikTok? Oh my God, that's so funny. It sounds just like this TikTok. It's just a phrase that repeats in my head from conversations I've had over and over and over and over. And of course, someone who before a month ago barely ever used anything resembling TikTok, including Instagram Reels, was entirely lost in this conversation, thinking, what the hell are you talking about? I did not watch your stupid 15-second dance video, nor do I care. But that the fact that there are, you know, young, intelligent people, I'm not saying people are dumb, but they've been almost hypnotized by this app and others like it to feel the need to communicate only through that means. And anything else is just, you know, is other and is almost, you know, it's like they're afraid to talk about anything else because they don't know anything else. It's very concerning. And how will we trust young people to be able to read books, entire novels, entire articles, even watch entire movies without feeling the need to check TikTok and multitask and do all of these forms of media at once? I did a little research into TikToks actually about this specifically, and there are some people, it's so strange because it's a TikTok about how TikToks are ruining their attention span and they feel the need to multitask at all times. And it's a strange moment of self-awareness, but I think it is so true among people, and I've seen it among friends of mine as well. Friends of mine that can't go entire 2-hour movies without checking TikTok on their phone. You're already watching something. Why are you doing something else? I know friends of mine will say that they when they watch, you know, a movie, they're doing something on their laptop or they're on their phone. They have to be, or they're on their phone and they put something on in the background. We're trying to consume so much media that we're actually not really focusing on anything, because the thing you end up focusing on is a 15 seconds meaningless dance video. How are young people going to become adults and be able to carry on full conversations, listen to speeches? I see great problems ahead for my generation and the ones to follow. But to bring it back to TikTok specifically, I also have issues for it, and it's the reason I will not download it on my phone or any device that I have, because quite frankly, ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, is a Chinese company. It is located in Beijing. And the problem with that is that written into Chinese law is a section that talks about that the Chinese government can petition any company for data. And while TikTok itself has said that it will never, if ever asked, they said they haven't been asked, but who really knows? They say that if ever asked by the Chinese government to provide user data to them, they would say no. But if we can take any sort of reference from prior companies or organizations that are asked to do something by the Chinese government, it's not a very good track record. I mean, look at the NBA. LeBron James and many other NBA officials and players will not recognize the existence of Taiwan and a myriad of other issues that the Chinese government does not want to be said or known. And the only reason is because there is a huge Chinese market for the NBA. It's all about the money in the end, and they have no backbone or true principles. And I honestly cannot have that much trust in TikTok to be the bastion for truth and not give in to the paycheck. After all, like I said, Douyin, the Chinese variant of TikTok, has itself 100 million users or more. And the data that TikTok collects on its users is extensive. The types of data that it collects includes which videos are watched and commented on by individual users, location data, the phone model you're using, the operating system being used, and the keystroke rhythms that people exhibit when they type. I mean, this goes beyond simple, including IP addresses. This goes beyond your average data collection. There's a report that received obviously TikTok received backlash, and so did Instagram, for regularly reading the copy and paste clipboards of their users. So don't think that this data is meaningless. When I tell people that I don't have TikTok because I refuse to let the this app know so much about my data, they often say, you know, the Chinese government doesn't care what I'm doing and they don't care what you're doing. And I agree with them. They don't care what I'm doing because I am of no significance to them. But like I would say to the argument of someone who says my vote doesn't matter because there's, you know, 60-70 more million people that are going to vote in this election as well. Well, when you total all of the people that use TikTok, all of the billions of them, especially when you have location data on, so you know where this is coming from, and imagine a world where the Chinese government does get a handle on this data one day. They have access to how hundreds of millions of Americans, mostly young ones, how they operate online, what they're buying, how they type. This is all data that may seem mundane on its face, but trust me, the world of machine learning can do incredibly dangerous and useful things with data as simple seeming as that. And that data in the hands of the Chinese government, and I want to be clear, the Chinese government is the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. That data in the hands of that government is something I don't want to fathom. And so while it may be mostly on principle that I don't do this because I know that there's still 130 million of my American peers using this app and having their data be collected, I don't want to be a part of it. And I would urge you not to be a part of it as well. I think on that note, we're going to leave it there. If you enjoyed, please check out the Instagram. You can find this podcast on any platform you listen to podcasts on. Thank you for listening. This has been Where Liberty Dwells podcast. I'm your host, Vaughn Hilp.